Okay, now we're talking with Gloucester High School head coach Dan O'Connor. And, Coach, welcome back to MSO.
Hey, Rick, good to talk to you, and happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Yeah, they begin. They begin on Thursday. Coach, before we get to some Thanksgiving memories and so on, I want to ask you about Fall 1 and how it went, because I know that most of the Northeast Conference, excluding a couple of schools like Classical and English and I think maybe Saugus, were not allowed to play, but Gloucester did. Gloucester had a pretty successful soccer season and field hockey season. But you guys did get to do some things on the field. Tell me a little bit about what that was all about.
Yeah, you know, it was, very fortunate for us that the school and the school committee members felt it was important for us to be able to have a bit of a season, albeit with the restrictions that we have. You know, we were able to get on the field a few days a week, get some lifting in. We actually turned our under the bleacher area into a small little weight room. But just, you know, the kids were great. You know, their energy was high, their commitment was high, you know, their understanding of the protocols and procedures that were in place, I was really impressed with. I was impressed with the younger kids that came out and the older kids that, you know, it's tough to ask these kids sometimes to come put in as much, if not, you know, more work than they would have if they had a season and were playing competitive games. But they were great about, you know, dedicating themselves and making sure that they were there and learning as much as they can.
You know, that's a good thing and a good point. One of the things that interests me about your program, Coach, is that, you know, you're first-year head coach last year, and then in the off-season, you sort of have to instill your own program while keeping the tradition alive and recruit kids to play, and ordinarily, that's hard enough when all the kids are in school. Did that create more of a challenge in March when everything kind of shut down and ordinarily you'd be talking with kids, working with kids, having to do programs and stuff? So a bit of an extra challenge at that point?
A little bit. I would say that, you know, I'm fortunate enough to have a really good relationship with some of the other coaches in that, you know, the athletic programs. So the winter athletes, you know, I'm able to check up on regularly. The spring sports, you know, and the, unfortunately, they didn't get a chance to play last spring, but, you know, the coaches have been great, and I think we all work really well together and communicate, you know, the well-being and for the well-being of our student athletes in Gloucester and really are all on the same page about wanting and promoting multi-sport athletes. And that's a program directive, you know, and something that if we get enough people pushing the right direction, we can really get back to having, you know, the core group of athletes that we're sharing, you know, get our programs into a really successful spot. So it's a kudos to Mr. LaFada down there, the athletic director, and the other coaches that, you know, we were all really pushing and pulling for the best of the kids. We did some online virtual workouts for much of April and May with, you know, Coach Riley from the field hockey team. Coach Ladoff, you know, former football coach and actually girls lacrosse coach up until last year. But we held 3 days a week, we held virtual workouts. And we were doing some videos, some exercise videos online and as a group. And we had female athletes, we had male athletes, we had some seniors from last year that were moving on. We had some upcoming and incoming freshmen. It was a really good mix. But it was something that we wanted to make sure our kids were staying invested in sports. And I think that paid off for, as you said, the success of the field hockey and the soccer programs that we're able to play. And for us to get great turnout for those workouts that continued through the summer and then for Fall 1 when we were able to get on the field, it wasn't like having to start back up because they were invested. They had been putting in work this entire time.
Well, I know you, like other coaches, are gearing up for fall too, and everybody's keeping their fingers crossed that winter sports goes well so that we can play football in the springtime. And I use the word spring very loosely at that time of year. It's pretty cold. But tell me a little bit, let's shift gears to Thanksgiving, Dan. You've played, you've participated, you've been a spectator, you're a coach, you've been a parent, you are a parent. Your first memory of Thanksgiving football in Gloucester.
I'd have to say, I think my uncle took me to a game actually in Danvers. It had to be the early 90s, so I was probably 6 or 7 years old. And it's just, it's one of those things that you really, if you haven't left the area and you don't know any better, you take for granted. This is not, Thanksgiving football does not happen across the country. And that's something that, you know, I really wish the student athletes that we have would really understand. And it's one of the reasons I do feel so bad for some of our seniors across the state that are missing out on that last Thanksgiving Day game. But it is something that is so unique and really cherished.
Okay. That says a spectator, first time. And I remember that when I moved to Gloucester my senior year. And Gloucester was playing Danvers, I think, maybe for the second time at the beginning of the rivalry. And, I remember how exciting that was. I had never been to a Thanksgiving Day game before I came up. I was in high school in Texas. So it was totally different. Now, tell me about as a player.
Well, it's something that you circle, you know, your freshman year, whether it's your junior or senior year Thanksgiving Day game that you expect to be a contributing member. In that game. And it's something that, you know, as a player, whether it's home or away, you always want to make sure that you're representing your program and your team well, because you know the guys that played before you are going to be there. And, you know, I think everyone's read, Jerry Callahan's article over and over and over again. But there is truth to it, you know, and you, as a senior, you realize that for so many of senior players, it's their last time putting a helmet on. You know, I can remember our junior year, we hosted the Thanksgiving Day game. That was, you know, Jimmy Eunice's last Thanksgiving Day game at home. And, you know, you remember sophomore year going to Danvers with Harnish and Mackey and all of them. And, you know, you just really want to show out in a rivalry game and play in front of such a big crowd, because everyone's off. It's a holiday. There's no work. Colleges are on break. You know, there's no school the next day. It means a lot to play in it. You know, it means a lot to coach in it. It's a healthy, respectful rivalry. And not just the Gloucester-Danvers one, but Beverly-Salem, how many times have they played? You know, Swampscott-Marblehead, and the proximity of how close those two towns are. And things like that. It's amazing to get to play in it. It's something I think that every player circles and has in the back of their mind. And for so many players, it is the last game that they do get to play in.
I think once the kid has seen, the younger kids on the team, when they see the number of people in the stands on Thanksgiving Day and how excited it is and how exciting it is, that's sort of an incentive. Okay, I think I will work out this winter a little harder, and I want to come back for more of this. It's a great feeling, and as a fan, and certainly I've been, you know, doing this since 1978, and it's unique, it's very exciting. But for me, it's something on Wednesdays and Thursdays that begin my holiday season, and I'm not used to being home in the morning on Thursday morning. And I wonder, as an assistant coach and now as a head coach, what your routine has been like over the years in terms of this week, Dan, because it's something we have to recapture, but it's different. I mean, you know, you're away from home, but it's still a good feeling.
Yeah, it is. You know, and it's also for a lot of teams, the only game you head into with an extended break, because most teams, at least, you know, before the current system has been put in place, is you have an extended, you don't play last week. You wouldn't have played last week, so you have extra time to think about things. You have extra time to maybe put in a few more wrinkles or some new plays, and get a feel for what you're doing. You know, as an assistant coach with Paul, with Coach Ingram on some of the runs that, you know, they had, and when we had things going in, you know, the 08, 09, and 2010, you know, that was also the time that you started, because, you know, if you're getting ready at the time for the playoff rounds that started after Thanksgiving, you know, you start splitting some of your time as a coach, watching film on some of the teams you might be playing, you know, I can remember Coach Joe Stewart and I spending Thanksgiving morning together in Westford, going to watch Westford Academy.
Okay, yep.
Having to make the trip all the way out there for Thanksgiving, and, you know, it wasn't the Gloucester-Danvers game, but it still was a rivalry game, and it was fun to sit back and watch it from a different angle, you know, and see how other communities rally around the Thanksgiving Day game. But, you know, it is something that you really hope that you can create an atmosphere that your older kids remember, and that they can they have the opportunity during that week to pass down some insight, some, you know, knowledge, and just share their true feelings, you know, completely unwrapped to the team and some of those younger kids, like you said, to kind of get them motivated intrinsically.
Well, it's different, obviously, when you're heading into a Super Bowl, and the way the playoff format is, it takes some of the luster off Thanksgiving. But hearing every single coach I've talked to, and coaches who are, you know, have gone to the playoffs many times, none of them sells Thanksgiving short, and they always point to the fond family memories and memories they have as a player and as a coach. So I appreciate that, and I know you've got some unfinished business to do, and hopefully Dan will be talking in a few weeks, maybe 7-8 weeks from now, about getting ready for the opening of fall too.
Man, I hope so. You know, and I know that, you know, for the student athletes across the state, you know, they deserve it. I know that, you know, there are so many students and so many coaches and families and players that are doing the things that they need to do, and we want to make sure that these kids, you know, get to enjoy their senior year in whatever sport it may be. You know, any sport that has been postponed or canceled, you just hope that these kids get an opportunity to play.
All right, next time we talk, we're going to talk names, we're going to talk captains, positions, and all that good stuff in the upcoming schedule.
Sounds good, Rick. And, you know, one thing I've expressed to you as a student and a player that has gone away and moved away from the area and unfortunately didn't make it back for a Thanksgiving Day game, but the coverage you and your team have provided throughout the year is to allow some of these, you know, alumni to follow a game from afar is tremendous, and kudos to you and all your guys.
Ah, you're very kind, Coach. I really appreciate that. And you know we love doing it, and we love talking with you, and I love learning from former students. It makes me feel good. It makes me feel young, and makes me feel like I got to keep going. So thank you.
Thank you, and happy holidays.
Happy Thanksgiving. Happy holidays. Stay safe, Dan. We'll talk to you in a few weeks.
Sounds good.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. That is Dan O'Connor, who is the head coach at Gloucester High School.